Pleasure to introduce Addy. Addy is a friend of Revival Church Billericay. He's been with us now on numerous occasions. And Addy's one of the co-founders of an organization called Christian Concern. If you don't know anything about Christian Concern, then avail yourself of the literature at the back. It's an incredible organization that has real influence at the highest levels of government, the judiciary, and other spheres of influence that actually we don't have access to, but they are a bright light in amidst some of the darkest stuff, kind of at the top end, I guess, of our nation. They bring prophetic stuff and revelation, and they bring for us within local church a way that we can actually pray intelligently for those things and support those things. So it's a real honor to have you with us today, Addy. The floor is yours. Let's give him a very, very warm welcome.
Friend is back. It's good to be back home. I've always said to you, I feel very much at home anytime I come here. I pray for you, remember you in my prayers all the time, because I'm so connected with what you do here. The Spirit of God is here, powerfully here. And I know that, and as I said to you in the past, even though I travel the world, I speak to various audiences, but I just know when God is somewhere. God is in this place. He is really in what you do. And you just said something there about the kids that touched me. And it's something I want to encourage you to continue to do with your young people and children. Let our own rooftops be the floor where they begin. Work hard at it. Without them, we have no future. Whatever your resources are in this place, invest. Invest at least 30% in your children and young people. Because without them, there's no future. And because I know that the revival culture is a lifestyle here at Revival Church. And I'm passionate about that. I was praying and asking the Lord what He will have me talk about today. And there is a harvest that is coming. There is a harvest that is coming. And I believe that harvest is actually here. But there are people that God needs for that harvest. And I've learned that God will never invest in you what you don't have capacity for. He just doesn't do it. So He's in the business of capacity building. So that when the investment comes, you're ready for it. I stopped praying, God, bring great investment into my life. I changed my prayer. My prayer is, Lord, give me capacity for greater investment. Because oftentimes you're asking for an investment. The reason why it seems it's not coming is because you haven't got capacity for it. And God is not a wasteful God. He will not give an investment into you that you lack capacity for. And so this morning, in the next slide, what I want to talk to you about and share with you is the servant of God and the harvest. Who is this servant of God? Or who are these servants of God that He's preparing and building up for the harvest? What do they look like? What is He expecting? I want you to see yourself through this as we go through the Word of God this morning. And I really mean that. Many people say, I've been praying for this thing for years. It seems as if God is not hearing me. You're praying the wrong prayers. You're asking the wrong things. Because God has principles and standards. And if you're not fitted into it, it will not happen. The next slide, Matthew 9. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now listen to this. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Great Britain, our nation, is desperately in need of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Desperately in need of the gospel of the kingdom of God. We are a nation as sheep with no shepherd. A nation as sheep with no shepherd needs you and I to respond by reaping this harvest that the Lord has sown. And some of you might say to me, but look at the state of us. We look like a country that is old and frail and stricken. But I encourage you this morning that there was a man in scriptures called Joshua. And if you ever go to Joshua 13 verse 1, this is what the Lord said to Joshua. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remains yet very much land to be possessed. At a time that he was old and stricken, and God saw it, he was still saying to him, there remains much to be done. Revival Church, there still remains much for us to do. There still remains much. There are still more territories for us to conquer and possess in this nation, regardless of our condition. And so don't let anyone tell you it's all over. It's not over. It is so ripe. It is so ready. And God is looking to us, his servants, to reap this harvest. The next slide. Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 23. I'll just take some of the verses in it. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So there neither is he that plant anything, neither that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. For we are laborers together with God. Laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You are his temple. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And ye are God, Christ, and Christ is God's. It is God who gives increase in this harvest as we surrender ourselves to his service. Remember that. You don't give the increase. He gives the increase in this harvest. We are laborers together with God. We are his building. We are his temple. We are his husbandry. We are Christ's. These are fundamental things as you move in revival culture that you must remember and understand. Your identity in the harvest, in the revival, is so important. Once you miss that identity, you start doing things that God has not asked you to do. You start behaving in ways you're not ought to behave. You start putting expectations on yourself that God hasn't put on you. Don't do it. God manages his expectation of us. Don't go beyond what he has called you to do. The next slide says this. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. I haven't read that. Question. How do you serve Jesus Christ? Are you serving Jesus Christ? Are you following Jesus Christ? Do you know where Jesus Christ is? Are you where Jesus Christ is? Does God the Father honor you? Because in this harvest, you need to put yourself in that picture. Well, Phil, God definitely honors you. to have put you there to switch off that light. And I don't say that lightly. I really mean it. It's prophetic. Because we are the light of the world. God is something that I want you to really pray prophetically, that the day that God takes your hand and switches off that light, the spiritual light will be lit over this area in Christ Jesus. The next slide says this. To serve Jesus Christ, you must know and be where He is. Follow Him, be moldable and available. All of this makes the Father honor you. A person who is not moldable is not useful to God. God is the potter, we are the clay. A moldable clay is useful to God and remains in whatever form God molds it for His use. That's one of the challenges we face today. We don't want to be in the form God wants us to be. We want to be in our own form. But God is looking for people, not so much who have ability, but who have availability. Your ability is useless if you are not available to God. In fact, He doesn't care if you have no ability, but be available. And then He will become your ability. In this harvest, that's what He wants. Whichever way He wants to mold you, say amen. Wherever He wants you available, just say amen. That's what He wants to do. If He decides to put you in your family of two or three, and that's exactly where He wants to use you for your life, just say amen. That's what He wants for you. Because you might just be among four or five people, and that's where God wants you to be available. But do you know, amongst those four or five, there might just be somebody who's going to be the largest or maybe the most influential evangelist the world has ever seen. And yet you have been put there to nurture that person for such a time as this. Be moldable and what? Available in this harvest. Let God use you just how He wants. The next slide says, servants of human masters work for their master. God, however, works through His servants. When God works through you, you can do anything God can do. See, I'm a son of a late and retired police commissioner. My father trained in this country in 1960 as a police commissioner. He was in the British police from the 40s. And a lot of my parents in Nigeria, uncles were generals back in the day. So I grew around authority. In fact, there are any Nigerians in the house, there's a police department in Nigeria called the Mobile Police. My father set up the Mobile Police in Nigeria. They're so notorious. Oh, incredibly nasty people. You don't want to mess up. They're just like the SWAT squad. They're just nasty. And nasty in the sense that they're only nasty when you get nasty. You know, but anyway, I lived around authority. And then you had so many of them who eventually had businesses. And you had thousands of people working for them. And they don't need to have a relationship with them. They just work, get paid, and that's it. And some of you do that where you work. Whoever owns your business, you might never even see them or have any relationship with them, but they pay you at the end of the month. You get your salary, and that's it. That is, you're working for somebody. God is not looking for people to work for Him. Mm-mm. And that's another mistake you mustn't make in this harvest. He's not looking for people to work for Him. He's looking for people to walk through. Because He walks through you out of the intimate love relationship He has with you. And everything God will do through you flows out of the intimate love relationship that you have with Him. Don't work for Him. Let Him walk through you. It's when you work for Him, you begin to do things He has not asked you to do. You begin to run with good ideas, not God ideas. This harvest is a harvest where God is looking for people to walk through. Not for Him. He never looks for people to work for Him. In fact, you haven't got the capacity to work for Him. A servant of God is someone who God walks through. And then that means you are available and you are what? Moldable. To be used how He sees fit. The next slide. It says here, the servant of God is rare. You do not get orders and go and carry them out yourself. You relate to God, adjust your life so that He can do what He wants through you, respond to God, emulate God. The servant of God is what? Rare. And that is what it is. You respond, you adjust, you relate, you emulate God. It's so important. To the point that when people see you, your life speaks of Him all the time. Even when your job here on earth is finished, and they are to talk about the history of your life, the history of your life becomes the story of Jesus. That's what He's looking for. When they are to talk about your history, everybody says, that sounds like the life of Jesus. That's what Jesus is looking for. Your life, you must not just know Him, you must glorify Him. Glorify Him. In Romans 1, the reason why He gave them to their base mind was because He says, they knew God, but they did not glorify Him. You know, and recently I was asked what we could do for the Queen on her 9th year and 64 years on the throne. And myself and the Hope leadership sat together in discussion. Steve Clifford, Roy Crown, the rest of us, we sat down and they said, why don't we write something about the Queen's faith? And I said to them, who of you knows what her faith is? So I said, stop flattering yourself. That's only between her and God. I said, however, if we're to write something about her faith, how about getting some people to compile for us every confession of Christ she's made for the last 64 years, either in her Christmas speech or Easter speech. And that's what we did. And I said, guys, and having done that, we take it to her and say, if that is truly your faith, put your seal on it. And the whole room was, take it to her. I said, yes. What's wrong with this? She's a human being. I said, I'll tell you guys now, I will not support this book unless it gets to the Queen. And I tell you, it will get to her and she will sign it. Oh my God. The whole room was like almost a little bit of a war zone. And I refused. I said, guys, I ain't writing this thing and we're not doing it. And I won't support it except it goes to the Queen. And so they went on an errand trying to get to the Queen. And they tried to go through the bishops who were chaplains to the royal family. They said, take it to the Queen, they said as well. No way. They didn't. They went to another bishop, head of the Queen's closet. No way. I ain't doing that. And then one of my guys, tired of trying, went to see a Christian who had fallen out and now on the straight and narrow, and encourages him, a barrister, and to see how he was doing. And then the barrister said, so how are you doing? You asked how I'm doing. He said, oh, I'm struggling right now. Myself and Adi and some guys are trying to get this book to the Queen. And there's no way we can't get it to the Queen. Nobody will take it to the Queen. And it's bothering me. And Adi says, it ain't going to happen except the Queen signs it. And the guy said to them, funny you should say that. My brother is the Queen's cupbearer. Oh my goodness. What the bishops won't do, the cupbearer goes, takes to the Queen, and within days, that was it. Some of you have got it, you've got this. And right there, the Queen puts her own seal. And has some of her own stories. And I say this to you, that I wanted, that was a moment that I am now hearing people use this book for evangelism. Some just place it in their businesses and it strikes a conversation. So what is this about? Why do you have this book about the Queen here? That's it. We sold over 1 million for this at £1. But what am I saying? There is a harvest and you must know the moments that God gives you and you must make the best of it. If I did not insist in that meeting, maybe that wouldn't have happened. That's why I'm taking even the opportunity, like I said earlier on, that Phil has. It's a moment. Make the best of it. A moment in this harvest. And if God chooses to use you that way, do it. Respond, adjust, relate, emulate. Because the servant of God is what? Rare. In the next slide, in Elijah, Elijah had no ability to do what God was about to do. When God, however, did something he only could do, all the people knew that he was the true God. God did his mighty work, but he acted through his obedient servant, Elijah. Elijah was obedient, moldable and what? Available. I only wanted to do what God will have me do in that point. The next slide says this. Elijah had to stay with God and do everything God commanded him to do. In his prayer, listen to what Elijah said. Let it be known that I am your servant. Let it be known that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Elijah was acting in obedience to God's command and not based on his own initiative. This is a harvest whereby what you do must be at his word. Not your word, his word. So Elijah understood that. So in his place of prayer, said, let it be known to everyone who sees this thing that I only did it at your word. At your word. Do what you do at his word. In the next slide, he says this. Elijah is a man of like nature, like as we are. James 5, 17 to 18. Elijah was ordinary, but he humbled himself in the role of a servant. He obeyed everything God instructed him to do, and God was able to walk through Elijah to influence powerfully a whole nation to return to God. Your obedience to God can return a whole nation to who? To God. There was a famine coming to the land, but in the midst of the famine, God could provide a harvest. And he did it, but it was through the obedience of one servant. And where was that servant? That servant was in prison. His name was Joseph. He interpreted exactly what God wanted him to interpret. He said to the queen, let me go and hear what God is saying, and I'll tell you what to do in this famine. God didn't take away the famine, but through the obedience of his servant, he turned the whole nation in obedience to himself. And that prisoner was not in a comfortable place, but God still used him. And I don't know how many of you are seated here today, and at the same time, you are in a physical prison. It doesn't matter. God will use you just as you are, if you make yourself what? Obedient, available, and moldable. Regardless of your situation, he will use you if you are available in this harvest, just as you are. Many of you will say, well, you don't understand my background. If you understood my background, you will know God can use people like me. It doesn't matter what your background is. Your back doesn't have to be on the ground. Come on. Some of you have been so hit down so much. You've been hit so many times. Listen, defeat is not declared when you fall down. It's declared when you refuse to get up. So no matter how many times you get hit, get up. Get up. Because God is willing to take you and use you just as you are, if you are available to him. The next slide is another word. Reapers and sowers. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He went up and said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The last verse 38 says, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entering into their labors. Isn't that beautiful? It's already ripe all around you. Revival is not an event. It's a lifestyle. And at times I see people say, oh, we're having a revival meeting. Thank God for that. But revival is not an event. Have the meeting, but ensure that everyone that comes there makes revival a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, not just an event. The next slide says, in the Lord's harvest, he is seeking servants of God whose meat is to do his Father's will. Servants of God that can reap the harvest through Christ Jesus as he walks through them. I keep repeating it, walks through them. The next slide, this is of Peter and John in Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. When God begins to use you in this harvest, even though people knew what you used to be, they will see a great change. And they will know there is only a great change because you've been with who? Jesus. So it doesn't matter what your background is. It matters how God sees you. They saw them untrained, uneducated. They're finished. But they realized, no. The words they speak demonstrate power and spirit because they've been with Jesus. Jesus walks through them. You need to understand that in this harvest. The next slide. The relationship with God and the activity of God made Peter and John extraordinary. God wants you to be you and let him do through you whatever he chooses. When you believe that nothing significant can happen through you, you have said more about yourself. You said more about your belief in God than you have said about yourself. The truth is, he is able to do anything he pleases with one ordinary person fully consecrated to him. Just one. Fully consecrated to him. And you have seen that all through scriptures, where he just uses one person and the whole thing changes. Just one person. Consecrated fully changes everything. You are one of those one persons for such a time as this. Whether it's within your family, friends, business, career, whatever it is, your sphere of influence, you are one of those people that God wants fully consecrated so he can use you to change the landscape. Change everything. The next slide says, pleasing men or God. Galatians 1. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ Jesus. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Wow. Is that not the harvest we're looking for? When people who are in ISIS now begin to preach the faith which once they tried to destroy. Harvest. But that only happens when we're God pleasers, not men pleasers. God pleasers, not men pleasers. Paul said, I was new. He called me and he sent me out straight away. I had no time to confine with what? Flesh and blood. He was thrown out there. But God gave him capacity for what to do. So don't look at yourself and say, I'm a young Christian. I've only started. Just make yourself what? Available. And he will use you in his own way. Next slide says, when God is in you and walks through you, you are spiritually wired to be a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. Servants of God are receptive to being taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. When God walks through you, he walks in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. A persecutor now preaches the faith he once destroyed. Only God can do that. Paul was the first 007. With a license to kill. But on his journey, the Lord met with him. And his story was never the same again. Never the same again. The next slide says this. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you. Somebody try and pronounce that for me, please. Epaphroditus, my brother. Listen to the things, how they describe this man. My brother and companion in labor, a fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Because for the work of Christ he was near unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service to me. Goodness me, what a servant. What a servant. How they describe this man. And in describing him, what I found is that indeed is the quality that God looks for in his servants. This is the quality. Next slide. That a servant of God is a brother or a sister, a companion in labor, a fellow soldier, a messenger, a minister to once. Are you some or all of that? If you are not all of it, that's fine. We are all a work in progress. Just keep asking him. So that you can get to that place with the Lord. You are a brother, a sister, a companion in labor, a fellow soldier, a messenger, a minister to once. That's the kind of servant he's looking for in this harvest. My last three slides, John the Baptist. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John. So who is this John? That there's no one greater than him, born of woman, a servant of God. Some of you have read the life of John. What he ate, how he was dressed. He didn't have the opportunity of designer clothes or shoes or glamorous cars or whatever it is. But God still used him. Regardless of his bushy hair, beard, whatever you like, God was still glorified. It didn't matter what he ate or drank, God was still glorified. People were still coming because he was willing to be used by God. Just as God wanted to use him. Even to the point of death, where his head was cut off. Who does that remind you of? The same man we just read that Paul was referring to. Even up till death, he was ready to serve Paul. John was like that. And in the next slide, he says this. John the Baptist had 6 months wholly yielded to God and the Son of God. Put that stamp of approval on his life. His public ministry was about 6 months. God will look for and reward faithfulness, whether the person has been given responsibility for little or much. God's standard of excellence is different from ours. People always forget, they think the public ministry of John was so many years. It was so short, but so powerful. It doesn't matter how long he gives you. So long as you are yielded, the impact will be there. We're still talking about the man today. And forever. But in the public eye, he was just there for a window. And he was gone. Some of you at times, you are overwhelmed by looking at others. Trying to think to yourself, I wish I was like Andy. Don't try and be like Andy. Don't dare do that. There's only one of him. Even if he was a twin, there's still only one of him. There's only one of him for such a time as this. There might be another Andy that looks like him in 50 years' time, but it's still not him. Because that Andy will have been for another, what, generation. There's only one you. So each one of you must be who God wants you to be. Stop trying to be like someone else. Appreciate other people. Honor them. Thank God for what God is doing for them. But be who God wants you to be. People ask me, I said, I have no ounce of jealousy and competition in me. I don't have time for it. I need all my energy to be able to fulfill what God has called me to do. That's a waste of my energy. No matter how much I try, I can never be as slim as Andy. And I can never be as white as he is. No matter how much I bleach. It ain't going to happen. Please, I say that seriously because at times in this harvest, the reason we fail is because too many people are trying to be like someone else. Just be who the Lord wants you to be. And let Him do what He only does best in whatever circumstance and situation. So finally, my last slide. If you feel weak, limited, ordinary, you are the best material through which God can work. The call to salvation is the call to be on mission with God. And as he reconciles a lost world to himself through Christ Jesus. This calling requires that you be a servant of God. If you want Jesus to walk through you for his harvest, then I want us to pray together. Because only if you want, then we need to pray together and say, I surrender all. I surrender all. If you will rise with me, and if you hold hands with someone next to you, the reason I could never be a musician or a singer or an actor is because I never remember the words. Except it's a very popular song, I just don't remember it. And so I only realized by revelation recently why I hum a lot. And my wife always says, why is it from the day I've known you 30 years, you hum a lot of songs, and then she begins to sing the words. And at times I don't even realize I'm humming. Then I soon realize it's because I never remember the words, but I remember the rhythm of it. If you don't mind, those of you who remember the words, as you hold hands before we pray, can we just sing that chorus together? I surrender all. So those of you who are good at it, yes? Can we have it two more times? I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. The person you're holding their hands, I want you to pray for them. And pray that the Spirit of God will mightily be upon them and in them. To surrender to be the servant of God for the harvest of God. Simple prayer. Lord, will you pour out your Spirit at this time upon my brother, my sister at this time, that they are able to surrender all. To be the servant of God, your servant, for your harvest, for such a time as this. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by your Spirit. So I'm asking, pour out your Spirit upon them and in them, so that they are able to surrender as servants of God, to be used in this harvest that is plentiful. To be the laborers that you send into your harvest for such a time as this. For this revival, Jesus. This revival, Jesus. Of their own, they can do nothing, tell the Lord. But through Christ who strengthens them, they can do all things. Help them, Lord, pray for them to surrender, to be moldable and available moldable and available to be used by you as you please, Father God. Move by your Spirit, both in the older ones and even in the children where they are and the young people right now. Move by your Spirit there as well. That as you promised in Joel, that even in these times, those young ones as well will begin to respond in total submission and surrender to be used by you as led by your Spirit. So we will have our children and young people come here in front of the church and speak what God reveals to them with boldness and with confidence and declare a thing. And so it is, because your Spirit is mightily upon them for such a time as this. Pray right now for revival, church. Ask the Lord, let the revival start, but let it start in me. This revival, yes, let it start, but Lord, let it begin in me. Let it begin when it start with me in this ministry, revival church. Start with me. Start with me. Start with me. And as you start with me in this ministry and in this revival church, let every one of us work together in the unity of spirit and in the bond of peace for this revival and in this harvest. Work in the unity of spirit and in the bond of peace in this revival. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. I want to pray a final prayer, but I want someone to help me. I hope I get this passage right, but I want you to read. In fact, Phil, if you come, I want you to read it. If I'm right, I think it's 1 Corinthians, and it is 10 verse 1. I think that was it. Maybe verse 1 and 2, I don't know. But it's the place where he says that we should be of the same language, the same message, the same mind. Am I right? 1 Corinthians 10, is it verse 1? Am I right, or is it the other way? If it's not 10:1, then it's probably 1:10. I'm not that old, but I'm getting along. Such a powerful word. Yeah, that all of you agree, and that there is no division. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, sorry, it's 1 Corinthians 1:10.
Yeah, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, mm-hmm. and there may be no divisions among you, mm-hmm. that you may be united in the same mind uh-huh. and the same judgment.
The same mind, the same judgment. I want you to just pray that for yourself right now as we close. Because you will need that in this harvest for this revival. No divisions among you. One mind, one judgment. In agreement all the time. Come on, pray that for yourselves. It's so important. You are stronger together. One, the same message, the same mind. In agreement, no divisions. The same judgment, the same, oh Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I want to prophesy upon this church, because somehow I believe you smile on them. Maybe particularly when I'm here. The last prophecy was that they will move from where they were, and then they were here. And when I came the last time, I said, Lord, I want to see an increase, and I see an increase. Ah. So, Lord, I'm prophesying now, I want to see influence. Influence beyond their comprehension. Influence locally and nationally. Influence. Power is the ability to influence. I prophesy, Revival Church, that you will influence this community. And you will influence nationally. I decree it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It will not be by power, by might. It will be by the Spirit of God. That all will hear and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Lord, I ask that you back this up with demonstration of your power. That you will give them influence in your name, locally and nationally. I give you all the praise because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.